produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings. My name is Matsia Mugwena, coming from South Africa. The name of the program is called The Voice of God, Lentswe la Modimo, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World, and this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. Today I am talking about a jealous God. God's jealousy is far, far different from human jealousy. His divine jealousy is a reflection of God's holiness, His honor, His passion, His faithfulness, and His love to His people. I am going to read from the book of Exodus 34, Gebala, starting from verse 14. It says, "You shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealousy, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Now the Bible is clear that you cannot, should not worship any other God, because here is the reason. It's because He is a jealous God. Now God's divine jealousy for His honor, for His glory, and for His name is so amazing, because He's extending that glory, He's extending that honor to His very own people. Now, jealousy has always had a very negative connotation, because it usually leads to envy, to bitterness, and to hatred. Now, those are negative things that cannot be associated with a good God. Now we see the result of carnal jealousy when we read the story of Abel and Cain, where jealousy grew until he murdered his own brother. And we read that from the book of Genesis 4. Another type of unhealthy jealousy, we see it with Joseph and his brothers. The brothers Sahaya, who were filled with so much jealousy to a point that they sold his own brothers. They sold him. And we read that from the book of Genesis 37. But when it comes to God, we do not describe Him with this type of carnal jealousy. But His jealousy is divine. His jealousy is a good jealousy. It is healthy jealousy. Now, the Apostle Paul understood the difference between godly and carnal jealousy. Kitabala, the book of 2 Corinthians, starting from chapter 11, verse 2, he says, "I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him." Now, the Apostle Paul, here he is addressing the issue of godly jealousy. He's addressing the motive behind godly jealousy, and he says his desire, it is to present the church to Christ as a pure bride. He says, I need this to be as pure as possible. No errors, nothing that can interfere with its purity. His jealousy is not for him. But he is saying this jealousy, it is to protect you from anything that will lead you astray. Out of this jealousy, it is there to protect you from destruction. It is godly jealousy. Although the word jealousy is often associated with feelings of envy and hatred, God compares his people with a wife. When his people were unfaithful, they were called prostitute. And we read that from the book of Hosea 6 from verse 10. Now, it is absolutely normal, and it's a normal response to be grieved by a wandering spouse. The problem of jealousy is when a person is being unfaithful. It is there and it pushes this feeling of jealousy. And their spouse will consistently be mistrusting and suspicious of this type of a spouse that I have. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is our Redeemer and that we are his bride. That is why he's comparing this and he's saying, you are like a wife. I need to be able to trust you. You need to be faithful to me because I am your husband. Now, as the Lord is our Redeemer, he has a right to be jealous when we are not faithful to him. He has a right to be jealous when we are disobedient. He has a right to be jealous when we worship any other god, because he said it very clear from the book of Exodus. He says, I want to have a covenant. And this covenant that I want to have with you is that you should only worship me and me alone. That is why he says, before he speaks of his God of protecting his own, he's a God that is jealous of his own. He starts by saying, do not. He starts by giving an instruction. Or for this not to happen, please, let's do the first step, and that is for you not to worship any other god. All right, let's take it step by step. And your first step is to worship only me and no other god, because I am a jealous God. Now, he is saying to us, do not let your heart to turn from me. And you go to other things. You go to worship other things that are not even good for you, that are very toxic, that are going to destroy you. I am protecting you from that. That is why I am a jealous God, because I know what is good for you. And other gods are not as good as I am to you, because I am the shepherd and a very good shepherd. We need to remember that for your husband, your God, whose name is jealousy, we must worship only him. Throughout the Bible, there's always been a struggle. Because God's jealousy has always been about us worshiping him alone. He says, we must love him with all our hearts. I'm going to read from the book of Deuteronomy 32, reading from verse 16. I will read until 17. Irhake Baala. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. Something will always provoke God. Any kind of worship that does not come to him, it provokes the husband. He's saying your devotion is not connected in the right direction. But I am a jealous God. And as I continue reading that Deuteronomy 32, it says, with abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons and not to God. To gods that they did not know. To new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. So there is something about this thing that you are doing. This kind of worship that bows down to demons. It sacrifices to demons. Now you are provoking my jealousy. You are provoking anger in me. And that is why he's saying, I am a jealous God. Now God is jealous because he loves us so much. When a husband is jealous, it is because you are provoking something inside of him. And the God that we are serving is the God who is so much loving and faithful to us that he is so jealous and says, I do not even want you to sacrifice to demons. He's speaking of gods that even your fathers did not fear. Now, the Apostle Paul, Hake Bala, he also says something in the book of 1 Corinthians, Kibala chapter 10, reading from verse 20 to 22. He says, the Apostle Paul, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. Any worship, any kind of a god, any kind of a sacrifice that is not of God, it is a sacrifice to demons. That is why he says, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. He says, here is my jealousy. My jealousy is coming from this channel. You are worshiping something else. And this is a demonic spirit that I do not want you to be associated with. Or you cannot fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Those two cannot walk together. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. He says, you see, this is what provokes me. This is what brings anger out of me. It is this type of fellowship of demons. He says, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? What is it that we are doing? Because we are serving a jealous God who has made it very clear from the beginning throughout the whole Bible that you cannot worship any other god. You cannot have fellowship with demons. You cannot sacrifice to demons. He says, this is what I do not want because it provokes me. And it brings jealousy. He says, are we stronger than he? Now the Apostle Paul, he is warning them and saying, they are demons behind this type of worship. What worship is that? The worship where we want to take the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. The type of fellowship that we want to partake of the Lord's table and also partake of the demons. That is the kind of warning he's talking about. Says, they are demons behind idolatry. He says, this idol worship, there's demons behind it. He says, idolatry, it is empowered by the demonic spirit. That is why I do not want to see it in my house. That is why I do not want to see it associated with my own people, not with my wife. I am a jealous God. I am a husband and I am protecting my own. I am a jealous God. Now, this is why God is so jealous, because we are giving ourselves over to this demonic power. And God is saying, I am not happy about this. I am a jealous God, and I do not like what I'm seeing. I do not like what is happening. He is a jealous God even when we are unfaithful to him. But he remains faithful to us. God, he loves us so much that as a jealous God, not only did he send his son to die for us, but he was willing to purchase us. He was even to redeem us by his blood, and we are called his children. But as his children, he's saying, you still cannot bow to any kind of a God, because I am still a jealous God. Jesus, he communicates the heart of God. Now, he is also jealous. I remember when he cleansed the temple of the money changers. And he was not happy because jealousy was there about his father's house. He went into the temple and he drove everyone out. And those who were selling, he whipped them. And he lifted the tables of the money changers. Jesus was showing that I am connected to my father, and anything that happens in my father's house, it provokes jealousy if it is not going to worship God, because the covenant is that we are to worship no other but him. Now, money changers were not worshiping anybody there. That is why jealousy arose. That is why it provoked him to anger. That is why God says, these abominations, they provoke anger in me. John 2, as I read verse 16 to 17, Erehake Bala. He said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciple remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. He says, something is eating me up. And this zeal, it is for the house of the Lord. That is why he is a jealous God. Now we must remember that as the body of Christ, when zeal begins to die in the church, remember he said to a church in the book of Revelation, he says, you have left your first love. Whenever zeal starts to die in the church, it is because we have moved from something, or it is because that we have started to partake of the Lord's table and the table of the demons, or it's because we have started to take the drink or drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Something has moved, and that is the first love is gone. Sometimes we die and the zeal dies because we have become lukewarm. We are not cold. We are not cold. We are not hot. We are just lukewarm. And God says, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because I need my own to worship no other God. I need my own people to know that I am a jealous God, and I share not glory with another, nor any praise with anybody. Now, when we move our eyes from worshiping him, then we begin to see the zeal slowly dying in the church. We begin to see that the first love is being replaced with other things. God's jealousy does not come from weakness. His jealousy is from his holiness. He says, I am jealous because I am holy and I need you to be as holy as I am. He says, as my wife, as my bride, your identity, it must reflect me as your husband. God is a jealous God because he loves us. I'm going to read Exodus 20, reading from verse 5. You shall not bow down to them, which means other gods. You shall worship. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God. He's saying, please, do not provoke. Do not do things that are not going to make me happy. All I'm asking from you is that do not bow down to them, these other gods. Do not worship them, these other gods. For I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God. His jealousy is for our good. His jealousy is meant to protect us from anything that will destroy us. Let us trust in the Lord and only worship him. His jealousy is a godly jealousy, and he will never lead us astray. This is Matsia Mukwena, and that's all we have for today. We are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World, and this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, glorious greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King. We greet you all the way from South Africa. This is your Destined for Glory program on Finding My Way Radio. My name is Benjamin Kutswane, and this is your program that I believe we are opened up to receive the broken seals of God's revelation that were broken when Jesus hung on the cross and declared, "It is finished." Remember that when he died on the cross and declared, "It is finished," the Bible says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The veil was torn in two, which means the way was opened for you and I to have access into the riches of the revelatory provision of God. And therefore, we can greet you with the knowledge that God has favor us with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, that we can receive from him the broken seals of revelation. So we welcome you to the program Destined for Glory. And even as we begin our program, we invite you to keep following up with us on our Facebook pages, and that's Benjamin Kutswane right there. So let us pray together as we enter into the Word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And we thank you, Father, that you have ordained this moment for every soul and every listener right now to access your will and your purpose on earth. For you said it is your will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth truth of whom is Jesus Christ, whom you send to be the propitiation for our sins. And therefore, Father, we thank you today. I pray the breakthrough of your word that is like the hammer that breaks down the rocks. Father, I pray, let your word pierce through to the dividing asunder as it is ordained, Father, searching of souls and the intents of our hearts, healing every portion of the life, Father. We speak your healing. We speak your deliverance. We speak your release in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material. And by faith, Father, we stand receiving and again covenanting to give all the glory, the praise, and the honor that is due unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear listener, this is the day again, and it's such exciting for us always to know that our hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is found in nothing else save in our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has appointed to be the foundation of our life, even as we live in this world. I do believe that wherever you are, you bear witness with me of the shakings that are taking place throughout the world. And I believe that God has given us his word. He has sent us Jesus so that in everything that is going on in the world, we will know what God is saying and what God is doing. Now, when we look together in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, just as a scripture that is establishing us in the midst of all the things that are going on, so that you and I will not be tossed to and fro by all the diverse winds of doctrines, it is important for us to know what is going on in the world. How do we stand in the world? And I want us to continue under the covering of the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ, or knowing Jesus by revelation, which is the ultimate ordained way of God to know Jesus Christ. Because if you remember in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, for we have not known Jesus thus, even though we have known him in his incarnate nature. Now we know him thus no more, for we know him by the Spirit. The Spirit is the essence of receiving revelation. The Spirit is the only way of receiving the revelation whereby we are called to know Jesus Christ. So in the midst of what's going on, let's understand again by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation as to what is it that is going on and what are we faced with. What is God saying? So we are continuing under the same mantling of the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's read the book of Hebrews chapter 12 so that you and I can embrace this together. Listen to what he says in verse 25. He says, we are called, let's begin in verse 22. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Know that. Now that's the position of revelation, information from God. Because he says to us, you have come to Mount Zion. How? By receiving Jesus by revelation. We have come to Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? Mount Zion, that word, Sion, speaks about the stable place. You have been brought to the stable place of God's appointing. You have come to Mount Zion. And the minute he says Mount Zion, he is distinguishing it from the mountain that was of the Lord in the Old Testament, which is Mount Sinai. And in Mount Sinai, or Mount Sinai, we know that in that mountain, the people died at the presence of the Lord. When the people did not line up with what God said, they died. And they feared. They were filled with fear. But now he says, because Jesus has come and we have received him by revelation, we now have come to Mount Sion, Mount Zion. We have come to the selected, stable place of God. And that word stable means this is not the place where now the wrath of God is shaking where we are. No, this is the mountain now where you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to the place called Mount Zion, which means the exalted place of stability, which means in the midst of confusion, in the midst of all that we are faced up in this world, you and I can know to walk in stability. We can know to walk in an even place. Why? Because the one who proclaimed through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, he said, he will exalt the rough places. He will make the crooked places straight. And therefore, we are here to hear him who says, comfort ye my people, comfort ye my people. Why? Because the voice of the Lord has now exalted the places that were low, and he has made the crooked places straight. The rough places have been made plain. All have been given what? The Zion or the Sion character. That's where we are called to be. And now he says, Mount Zion, which means the exalted place of stability with God. That's what we are called to. That's where we are called to be as we receive Jesus Christ by revelation. We have come to Mount Zion. And then he says, to the city of the living God. Note that. How have we come to this? By receiving Jesus by revelation immediately. If you listen to this by the Spirit of God, it means in the midst of all that we are faced up with, God is inviting us not to see what we see with our eyes, but we see what he says. He says, though we walk in this world, as Jesus has prayed, we are not of this world. We are not of the make of this world. This world has the nature of the old that was subject to God's judgment under the law. But right now, we are in the grace of God, and we are able to step out of this world by being in Christ Jesus. Oh, somebody might be listening and say, but how is that possible? How is that possible that we can think that we can be out of this world whilst we are faced up with the things that we are faced up with? Well, John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said this word. He said, I have spoken these things unto you so that in me you might have peace. And then he says, in the world you will have trouble or tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Yes, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, in the world you will have trouble. In me you will have peace, which means when you are in me, in Christ Jesus, you and I are out of this world. Where are we when we are out of this world? And we connect it with the book of Hebrews chapter 12. He says here, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Yes, why specifically the city of the living God? The city of the living God, because any other exalted thing in this world is full of death. It is not alive. It is not living. When he says the city of the living God, note that the word living there is your present continuous word. It means it's dynamic. It says he is the living God because he is alive and giving life. Apart from him, any other exalted thing in this world cannot give life. But we, by receiving Jesus Christ by revelation, we have come to the place of the living God, the city of the living God, which means the city above the cities of this world. So when we connected with John 16:33, I normally say this to people, and this is yours for today. Jesus says, cheer up, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you can take it for your own self, for your life, and begin to declare it. Cheer up, Jesus cleared it all up. Yes, cheer up, for Jesus has cleared it all up. I believe the real, perfect, and genuine cheer is the cheer of knowing what God has done for us. Hallelujah. It's the cheer of knowing that the of knowing that at the cross of Calvary, it is finished. That's the true cheer. The true cheer does not come from the things of this world. The true cheer does not come from the things that we see, we hear, we feel. No, the true cheer comes from the revelation of knowing Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and declared it is finished. And with that declaration, he was releasing the ultimate cheer for you and I that we can walk this world cheering up. Why? Because Jesus cleared it all up. Hallelujah. Yes, cheer up. Jesus cleared it all up. You can tell somebody, and they say, how do I cheer up in the midst of all that I'm going through? You tell them by faith in him, as you receive him by revelation and receive of his Spirit. The Spirit brings the assurance that you are the Son of God. You are the child of God. You do not belong to this world. You do not belong even to the condition of your cities. Throughout the world right now, just at the click of the button of a television, we can see same spirit prevailing in cities of the world. Men building their cities with bloodshed. Men establishing their towns with iniquity. And in the midst of that, God is saying, you that receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, you have come to Mount Zion. You have come out of the cities of the world into the city of the living God. Hallelujah. You have come to the city of the living God. You must know now, the city is like a built-up place. Every city has this one quality about them. It is a built-up place, which means the rough places, the rubbles, the desolation has been overcome and the place has been built up. But we know that right throughout the world, as we look, the cities of the world are crumbling down. Why? Because they are man-made. And all of the things that man has made, you look at Syria, you look at out in the Middle East, you can see what's going on in Iraq, in Syria, in all the other places, the bombings that are taking place. No city of man seems to be standing, and no city of man will stand forever. But God is saying, in the midst of the crumbling cities, you have come to the city of the living God, which means you have come to the built-up place, which is built by God himself. Remember, this connects to the cry that we hear in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where the Bible says, those who walked by faith, they were looking for a city not built by man, but the city built by God. Oh, but thanks be to God that right now, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, you and I have been graced to access the place of the city that the men of faith of old, the women of faith of old were searching for, were looking out for, the city not built with hands, the city not built by man, but the city built by God. But here it is, the access point into the city is to know that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, out of his curse-breaking love, God sent forth his only begotten Son, that whosoever will channel the grace of God into their life will access the eternity paradigm, and there will be no more dying for you and I when we are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because according to Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says, death itself, Jesus has overcome the one who had power over death, being the devil himself. And therefore we know when we receive Jesus, we receive the good shepherd who declared in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that my sheep and all those that hear my voice will have life and life abundantly. That's why, my beloved, as you are listening, we have come to another city. This is the city above the cities of the world. This is the city that is incorruptible, for it is built by the incorruptible God, by the immutable one, by the God who is sovereign and nothing fallible in him. And therefore, we have come to the city of the living God. that has to crush you down. You can stand knowing that you are alive in the city of the living God. This is the same way that when Paul and Silas were thrown in prison, they lifted up their praise, remember? And God inhabited their praises, and the prison could not contain them. And that's why my prayer is, you and I will not allow God to be confined by the state of the cities that we stay in, but we will walk in the cities as the citizens of the city that is above the cities of the world, and those citizens be known as those who have come to the city of the living God. This is who you are when you receive Jesus Christ, when you come to him by the wisdom and revelation of his Spirit. Hallelujah. And as we go forward, he says, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now, when he says to the heavenly Jerusalem, I'm trying to say to you, when you receive Jesus and you and I continue in the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ, this victory is seeing things beyond the carnal eye, beyond the limitations of our feelings and emotions. Because when he says we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, it means beyond the Jerusalem that we know in Israel right now, in the present Israel, those that receive the revelation of the Messiah, the very revelation that Peter answered Jesus with in Matthew 16 and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we receive that revelation, we are stepping into the heavenly Jerusalem. What does it mean to say the heavenly Jerusalem? It means we are accessing the dimension of the Spirit that is meant to be the standard, bear up the standard for the earthly Jerusalem, which means it is from the Spirit Jerusalem that we can minister the Messiah, Jesus Christ, even to the present Jew today in this world, and say to him, let your eyes be opened up, for the Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the one who has been revealed, and when you receive him by the Spirit of revelation, you will be able to enter into this victory called heavenly Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Now, heavenly Jerusalem, remember when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, I will give you the keys of heaven. Yes, I will give you the keys of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. Now, remember that when he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, he meant I will give you the operation from the jurisdiction of authority, which is heavenly capacitated, which means you will operate from the heavenly capacitated jurisdiction. Whatever you execute will not be coming from the echoes of this world, will not come from the limitations of this world, but it will come from the capacitation of heaven. That's why he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's the key right there that says, whatever you command in heaven, whatever you speak from the jurisdiction of your operation in the heavenly capacity, it will come with heaven's capacity and manifest the will of God in the earth. And when that happens, it will be the fulfillment of the prayer of the church kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How will it be when we receive the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach that Jesus, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? By this revelation, we are now walking in the victory of what? Heavenly Jerusalem, which means the spirit of religion is broken. You will never be confined to the religious way of looking at things. We are not like all the other religions where you've got some special spaces and places where you think you can only feel God when you go to a certain place on a pilgrimage. You go somewhere and that's where you know. But in Christ himself, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being, which means when we are walking in him in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we are brought to a place of knowing that he is with us. Yes, that's why when David cried in Psalm 23, it was a messianic prophecy. prophetic proclamation. It was a proclamation that connects what Jesus has come to fulfill in our lives when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now this is fulfilled in Christ Jesus, in that Jesus Christ is with us, my beloved. In the midst of all that is going on, Jesus Christ is with his church. Jesus Christ is with his children. Jesus Christ is with the sons of God. For the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As we read in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 and verse 26, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's who we are. So the blessing of the revelation of Jesus Christ is this, that we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem that is living under the fear of the bombs right now, as we see the people thinking that they can mock at the blessing upon Jerusalem. No, anyone who mocks at Israel around Jerusalem right now will not succeed, for Israel is the apple of God's eye. It is God's time clock. But we know that the Israel and the Jerusalem we are looking at, it's in the natural, and God is calling on us and saying, when you receive Jesus Christ by revelation, you access the thunder bearer position, whereby the revelation of the Spirit, we manifest the heavenly Jerusalem. What is the heavenly Jerusalem? Remember, the word Salem in Jerusalem there is the word from the word Shalom,